the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Business Property Coaching Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in today's special podcast, I wanted to talk to you today about the Brexit, about the fact that the United Kingdom has now left the European Union. I forgot what it was called then. Now, obviously, we've only voted to leave. That's like the four frogs sat on a log, and one of them decides to jump off. How many frogs on a log? And it's, well, four, because he's only made a decision. He's not actually done it yet. And so that is one of the fears, isn't it, about the Great British exit right now, is that we've all voted, one way or the other, about, you know, half and half, more or less, 52 versus 48%. Whichever way you came down on that, I'm not going to talk about that whatsoever today, because it's a fairly emotional subject. Whichever side you're on, it's fairly emotional. One side can't seem to understand the other side, and the other side can't seem to understand the other side. And so I'm not going to really delve into that, because what we tend to do there is just alienate 52% of our listeners or 48% of the other listeners. So we're not going to delve into that. But what we are going to delve into today is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because I've always said this about voting. I don't vote, by the way. I didn't vote in the Brexit. I don't vote in general elections. And I know that people say, you know, your granddad fought to give you the vote. And he didn't. He fought to give me the choice. To give me the choice. That's what freedom means, to have the choice to do whatever it is that you want, within reason, as long as you're not breaking the law or harming people, right? So that's what we actually fought for. Whether you agree or disagree with that, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. You may be very firmly strong about what you should be forced to vote, and that goes against what a democracy is about. So we're not going to really go down that path. But what I wanted to talk to you about was, if you believe that, let's just take a general election. If you believe that you have to wait 4 years in order to change your results, in order to change your path of your life, then I think you've already lost, in all honesty. Because look, in 4 years' time, you can become a millionaire. Within that 4 years, by you focusing on what you need to focus on and doing what you need to do, you could become a millionaire. I know this because that's what we help people do. And we've got results like that. So if you're waiting to put an X, to put a cross on a ballot sheet, because that is what's going to change your life, you've already failed. We know, for example, that government cannot eradicate the poor, because here we are in 2016, the 21st century. We can, and I've said this before, we can populate a planet with robots. We can create a planet that is populated only by robots. And I'm referring to Mars, of course. And yet we can't eradicate poverty. And if you think that we can, just, it doesn't take you long, just pop down to your local market town, your local town, your local city, let's go find some homeless people. And then let me know if we've eradicated poor, because we haven't. And don't tell me that those poor people have made their choice, because I know I've sat down and I've spoken to quite a lot of them when we hand out the backpacks called the Lufia Project, one of my little charities that I look after. And I've spoken to these people. They've just made mistakes like you or I could. I could have easily been a homeless person if I'd have made a few different mistakes going through the stuff I went through in family court with my kids. Quite easily. And I think anyone listening to this, a few different decisions, a bad breakup, maybe a mental problem, maybe depression, which is the same thing, right? As a disease, not a consequence necessarily. But a few different decisions, you could be there too. So don't tell me that we've eradicated poverty and that governments know how to do that. All the governments know how to do is take our money and spend it. And I'm not sure, do they spend it wisely? I think that's probably time for another podcast. But I would tend to suggest that they don't spend it wisely. Or they certainly don't spend it on what you would like it spent on. You know, for example, giving money to the arts, let's say. Now, some people listening to podcasts will think that's an awesome idea. Because as Winston Churchill said, and he said, should we cut, during World War II, should we cut arts funding? That's what he was asked. Should we cut arts funding in order to fund the war effectively? And his response was, if we do that, then what are we fighting for? So the problem then is that sometimes we disagree with what the majority want or the minority want as well. So we haven't got a direct correlation to where our money goes when we give it to the government. And so I've always believed that it's our duty to protect ourselves from tax. It's our duty not to pay tax, to pay as little tax as possible. Obviously, if this goes in the Daily Express, it's really frowned upon. Just ask Jimmy Carr, who was in a perfectly legal tax system, which just meant he paid less tax. And I think it's our job to pay less tax. I think it's the government's job to make as much money on tax as possible. But it's also up to the government then to spend it on whatever they think of. That's what a democracy is. We vote a party in, and they go off willy-nilly spending our money. Sometimes we're going to like it and sometimes we're not. And frankly, it's the same with a democracy. We voted one way or the other. It wasn't a massive majority at all, but we get what we get, and that's a democracy. And one of the little things that has wound me up a little bit is people saying, well, you know, for the people who voted to remain, you lost. It's a democracy. Get over it. And saying to someone, get over it. I mean, it's just an awful thing to say. It's like saying someone's died in hospital. Well, just get over it. You know, it's a democracy. I mean, it's an awful thing to say. What do you mean, just get over it? It's just an awful thing. Some people are really upset because they've lost jobs. They're going to lose their job. There's a lot of uncertainty. Obviously, things happen to the marketplace and so on. But I don't really want to go into that. What I want to go into is about you taking responsibility for yourself, about whatever the result is, whether you're really ecstatically happy about this result or whether you're ecstatically depressed about this result. The result is irrelevant to a large extent. Yeah, it might change freedom of movement. It might change the fact that we no longer have our E111s, our overseas healthcare cards. You know, it may be, I mean, I saw a lady and she voted to leave. And then afterwards she was going, oh, but I wanted to retire to Normandy. Will my dog still need a pet passport? And I'm like, your dog's going to need quarantine, let alone a pet passport. And forget about moving to Normandy. I don't think that's really going to happen because freedom of movement. I mean, maybe you might need a visa. This is a thing that nobody even knows. Nobody actually knows how it's going to work out. And so you can focus on that for the next couple of years because, we have to invoke Article 50. And that takes 2 years, right? The Article 50 might not ever get invoked. And my understanding is that the European Union cannot boot us out. So whoever the next prime minister is, and as of yet, we're on June the 28th. We don't know who that is and who that's going to be. It's not looking good, though, is it? I think we should get David Hasselhoff, the prime minister. That's what I think. Because let's face it, when we look at who's available, it's not looking great, is it? But what's also interesting is we voted to get a non-elected European Union away from Great Britain, and we end up with a non-elected prime minister, whoever that happens to be it Gove or Boris Johnson or Theresa May, or as I like to call her, Theresa, slow clapped by the NHS May, if you remember her getting slow clapped, I think it was her. So whoever that happens to be, none of those people were actually voted in. When we voted for the general election, with David Cameron in charge of Labour and Jeremy Corbyn in charge of the Conservatives and Jeremy Corbyn in charge of Labour. So who the heck knows, right? So we didn't vote anybody in right now. The next Prime Minister wasn't voted in, whoever that happens to be. It could be Mr. Blobby, for all we know, if you remember Mr. Blobby. It might as well be, because we didn't vote him in either, right? So, but this is the point I'm making, is that it's all completely irrelevant. What's relevant right now is what you do in the next day, in the next week, in the next month, in the next year, in the next 5, 10, 20 years. And the way I've based my life, I've always said this, it's irrelevant who's in charge. You could put anybody in charge, the Tories, the Labour, Lib Dems, the Green Party, Lord Such, if he was still around, and the Monster Raving Loony Party. I think secretly they've been in power for the last 50 years, frankly, judging by the results of all our governments that we've had. They've all failed. They've all been useless. I'm not 100% sure that the system we have even works, because if it did, we wouldn't have homeless people. We wouldn't have kids without jobs and education. We would have this positive, forward-thinking society where everybody believes that the team works and everybody goes out of their way to help each other. We haven't got that society. We've got a very selfish society, which is a me, me, me kind of society. And I'm part of that, by the way. You know, if you think I'm on that pedestal of not being in that, I'm totally in that society. I'm here saying that it's your duty not to pay tax. legally, right? Obviously, it's not your duty to illegally evade paying tax. And I get confused with evade and avoid. But it is your duty to pay as little tax as possible, because I believe that you know your family and your dreams better than anybody else. And that's why you're the best person to spend that money on investments that will help you generate the lifestyle that you want, wherever you happen to be. I mean, you know, people say that money doesn't make you happy. Well, it does. If you've got 5 million quid, you can move to Europe on that. You can donate that money, 5 million pounds. I was reading about it a few days ago because I was looking at how to become a Spanish citizen. And you can donate 5 million. And it's pretty automatic from that, which I felt was quite interesting. Like, this is not legal advice, by the way. If you sat there with 5 million, you think I'm going to do that, then obviously double check. But I just thought that was really interesting. So money does talk. It definitely can help. But who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years? Absolutely nobody, right? No one's got any idea. This is I can quote Hamlet and sound really sort of... quote Shakespeare, but I think it was Hamlet and sound really intelligent. Or I can quote Star Trek. It's the same quote. It's the undiscovered country, which was mentioned in Star Trek 5, I think. But I think it was Hamlet as well. Because that's where we are. We don't know what the future holds. We've got no idea. We've never been down this path before. And so it's really interesting. So what are you going to do about it? So that's me rattling on about the politics side. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do the same? And I tell you, nothing changes in those three rules. If you can remember the rules, they are cut your costs, generate cash, invest the rest. That doesn't change. That stays exactly the same. And that's what you've got to be doing. You've got to start saving your money. You've got to get rid of your credit card debt, your loans, your car debt, anything that is costing money against a liability. So like, I don't think I've said this on any of the podcasts. Let me run through this. If you're buying a £20,000 car, what you've basically bought is a £10,000 car that's cost you £25,000. So let me explain how that works. You buy a car for £20,000 over 4 years, okay? What happens to a car? It depreciates. It depreciates over time, doesn't it? So a car in 4 years' time, what's a 20 grand car worth? Maybe £10,000? So the car that I've got in England is I bought it for £1,000. It's a Mazda 6. It's a 2.3 litre Zagura, Mazda 6 estate. I bought it for property, really. It's got a big estate car, loads of boot space. And so that's pretty awesome, right? Bought it for £1,000. Like, is that going to depreciate anymore? Not really. In fact, to be perfectly honest, it's probably going to go up. I was just spent a couple of £100 getting it through its MOT. We're just about to do a service. That's another £300. We probably spent more in the last 12 months than the car's actually worth. But I guarantee that's still less than the £2,500 that a 20 grand car will depreciate. Plus, then obviously you need all the servicing and things anyway, right? So all that happens when you buy a 20 grand car is that in 4 years' time, it's worth maybe 10, maybe 12, maybe 8, right? Who knows? But it's not cost you £20,000 if you've got that on a loan, because you're paying this loan off every single month, which is cash flow every single month. And that is actually going to cost you, because you have to pay interest on that. That's cost you £25,000 in total, an extra £5,000 worth of interest. So you've got this liability that costs you 25, but in 4 years is only worth 10. And you think that's a good investment? That's a crazy way of doing it. What you're best doing is putting that £25,000 into a deposit that generates £200 to £300 every single month, and then getting a lease car that you replace every 2 years. You end up with a brand new car every 2 years. And it's paid for by your asset that continually not only generates income every single month, that income, by the way, is going to go up as well, year on year, on average. So in the next 4 years, rents are going to go up. Whether you like it or not, rents are going to go up. So that asset that you bought for £100,000 that generates £600 a month income but only costs you £300, your mortgage won't go up. Let's say you fix it for 10 years or whatever. But generally, you know, depending on mortgage rates and so on, but the £100,000 of a £70,000 that you've borrowed, that doesn't increase. That's not suddenly £80,000-£90,000 in 4 years' time. In fact, if anything, you might be paying down that loan. But let's say that you're not, and that £70,000 mortgage is still £70,000 in 4 years' time. But £70,000 in 4 years' time isn't worth £70,000 in 4 years' time. It's not worth the same as it is today. It's worth less because inflation erodes that. Like, it looks like we're due for some pretty heavy inflation, sort of 2 to 4% inflation. So you calculate 4%, I can't do this. I can't do the maths here. £2,800. I can do that one. So now your 70 grand in year one at 4% interest is 70 grand minus £2,800, which is 67,200. I'm doing this in my head, by the way, not using a calculator. So that's what your 70 grand loan is worth, because inflation has eroded it away. If you take 4% as the average inflation, it might be more, it might be less. Nobody knows. So, however, the point here is that, let's say your mortgage is £300 and your income £600. Well, what happens in a year's time when rents go up 10%? Suddenly, let's say it goes up to £650 a month. I've just got a property right now. We'll just put it up another £50. It's a £600 a month property. We'll just put it up to £650, and it's gone. It rented on the second person viewing it. And we've had to turn the advert off because we're getting so many calls coming through. So actually, that £300 a month mortgage is not only generating £300, it's now generating £350, which means I can get an even nicer car. Although the price of cars will have gone up as well due to inflation, the price of the lease will have gone up. But this is what you should be doing with your assets. You should be putting your money, putting your savings into buying assets that generate cash flow each and every month. And it's the cash flow that plays for all your toys. So this is pretty much Rich Dad Poor Dad. He went out and bought himself a new Ferrari, but he didn't buy it, he leased it. Get yourself a Ferrari, it's like £1,000 a month. You might have to put 10 grand down, right? But it's £1,000 a month. So on £1,000 a month, how many assets do you need? Maybe four, paying £250 every single month. How many of them do you need? And then, by the way, you can have a new Ferrari every 2 years, if that's what you want to, because you're just going to lease it. That's what you do. So this comes down to, what are you going to do to take care of your own family? What are you going to do to take care of your own financial future? And I know people are saying, well, it's easy for you because you're a bit further on and you've done this and you understand this. But it's not necessarily easier. I've gone through those difficult times as well. I've gone through difficult times where I've been scraping down the back of a sofa to find the money for the credit card bill, because the bill's coming in. I'm desperately trying to pay the minimum amount, £54, whatever, and I'm trying to scrape it down the back of a sofa so I can put it in the bank and pay it. I've been through that situation. And I've gone through the two jobs, and I've gone through setting up a business and failing many, many times. And it's like, you don't get to get there by doing something for 3 months or 6 months or just even 12 months. It takes time, effort, energy. It takes focus. It takes repetition. It takes becoming a master of what you do. That overnight success didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't happen overnight for me. I've been in property 17 years. And whilst it's easier now because with the information sharing that we have these days and the access to coaches who've got that experience these days, is so much easier. We didn't have a coach 17 years ago. You just got on with it. And we didn't have podcasts and we didn't have the internet. We walked to school in our bare feet sort of thing, you know. So we didn't have any of these things that we've got now. Access to information is just instantaneous. It's on your device, wherever you happen to be. I mean, it's phenomenal, the amount of information that's out there. And in fact, it's not information that's stopping you doing it. Make a mess of things. Go out there and have to rebuild the bridge. You know, people say, don't burn your bridges. No, burn your bridges. Burn them. Like, by the way, this is metaphorically. Please don't go out and burn bridges and say, I told you to do it. Please don't set fire to anything, right? Metaphorically speaking, sever that connection, make new connections, get rid of your friends and go find new friends. If you're in a crap relationship, sever that relationship and get into a better relationship. Your life will change fundamentally for the best in all of those situations. If you're in a crap job, get rid of the crap job and you're feeling crap every day, get rid of it. Get rid of that job. Change it up. You have the ability to be amazing. You've got the ability to be awesome. The same person who is awesome is exactly the same person as you are right now. There's no difference in that person. The only difference is the decisions that you decide to make and then the actions that follow up on those decisions. I see so many people that make the decisions. I'm going to leave my work. I'm going to leave my job. Awesome. When are you going to do it? Well, I'm just going to wait another year. What? Don't wait. Walk in. Leave. Now, by the way, I do believe in security as well. So, like, if you're going to leave, make sure you've got another job to go to. And if you haven't got another job to go to and you're desperate to leave, fill in your CV and get it sent off. Well, what if my boss finds out? You're going to leave anyway. Who the hell cares? Well, what if he finds out I've not got another job? Trust me on this. If you lose that job, you will find another way, because humans are problem solvers. One of the things we're very, very good at, whenever my back has been against the wall and it's literally, the fan's arrived, the manure has arrived, it's about to hit the fan. Whenever I've been put in that situation, I perform 100% and manage to pull my way out of it. Every single time that I've had to do that in the past, I've been able to do that. And sometimes you've got to take the bull by the horns and take control. Heck, we just had a solicitor's letter. Yet again, another solicitor's letter for family court. The whole family court thing is worth a podcast on its own. The amount of harassment that I feel from family court solicitors is significant. And then, by the way, what happens is they then send you. So you tell them you feel harassed. And then they say, well, we're not harassing you. And it's like, I shouldn't have to explain what a harassment is. If I feel harassed, then it's harassment. It's as simple as that. It's like you bullying someone, and they go tell someone, that your boss, let's say, that you're bullying them. And you can say, I'm not bullying anyone. It's got nothing to do with what you say. It's got to do with how you're making the person feel. So we just had a solicitor's letter. So a two-page solicitor's letter, usual rubbish. Trying to basically take the pace as usual, right? So it's like, okay, so we hit them with a 6-7 page letter, and we break it down, we hit them back, and we go full on aggressive with the solicitors, because we don't put up with any crap. None. We just don't do it, because if we did, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get another one and another one and another one. And so we have to go back full force, and this is what you should be doing. You've got to go full force. If you want your business to work and you're not sure if you're going to work, don't be, well, I'll see if it works or not. Don't do that. Make the decision. This is going to work. I'm going to make this work. One client per day. That's what you should be looking for. And you don't stop working till you found that client. Like if you've got a business right now on your phone right now, for people on that phone that want what you've got. The only thing is, you've got 200 contacts in your phone and you don't know who they are. What are you going to do? You're going to get on the phones and you're going to start phoning them up, because this is about making a decision. And then it's about taking action. And that when you've taken that action, it's not if, but it's when. And so you've got to step up and you've got to step into this new you, into this person that's going to take control over your entire future lifetime. So if you imagine floating above the clouds, and as you look down through the clouds and look down, you'll see a pathway, a road, if you like a railway track. And as you look to the left, that's your past. And as you look to the right, that's your future. And so many people are looking to the left and looking at what's happened and trying to make heads or tail, instead of just looking to the right and looking forwards towards your future as you look down and making a decision. Well, by the way, that path as well can split, because these are the decisions that other people will make for you. All of them are irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it and how you're going to perform, both in your work and in your business and in your cutting costs. You know, struggling for that £54, whatever it was. I mean, it was terrible times back then. Definitely character building, which I believe allows me to have podcasts like this, because I've gone through it. I know exactly what it feels like. And it's like just having a few extra pounds at the end of your income at the end of the month can make the difference between it really hitting the fan and actually just surviving that month. But just surviving isn't enough. So we go door knocking. Can we cut your grass? Can we wash your car? We do all sorts of things to generate anything, any extra bit of income, an extra £5, £10 at the end of the month when you're a pound or two down makes all the difference. And this is why cutting the cost right down to the penny and budgeting every single thing that you do is so worthwhile. And then you can start paying debt down and then to generate some form of extra cash in some way or form, whatever that happens to be. Getting into work earlier, leaving later, doing overtime, getting a promotion, closing more sales, starting a business, doing network marketing, starting your own business, becoming an affiliate, creating your own email list that you can, email and add value and sell to people stuff. All of that is really, really useful. But it all starts now. And you don't end up a millionaire after like a week or a month or 6 months of doing it. Like, unless you're like Mark Zuckerberg. But even then, I don't think it took him 6 months. It took him a lot longer. You know, there's something special about Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know if you've sort of realised this. He's not just a dude who went to university and came up with an idea. Because loads of people have come up with that idea. Loads and loads of people have come up with that idea. MySpace. What's ever happened to MySpace? Probably someone bought it and ruined it. Might have been Microsoft. They seem to do that quite a lot. But someone, that's what will have happened. Someone will have bought it and ruined it. So lots of people have come up with a Facebook-type thing. But only Mark Zuckerberg could have made Facebook, right? So there's something exceptional about him, something that only Mark Zuckerberg could do. There's something exceptional about Elon Musk, about Richard Branson and Alan Sugar. There's something exceptional about all of those people. So don't worry if you've not created something within like a week and you're a multimillionaire. It doesn't work like that. It takes time and effort and repetition to build it and build it and build it. It takes ages. I saw an image by Grant Cardone, and I follow Grant on Facebook. And if you don't follow Grant Cardone, you should. You should buy his book, The 10X Rule. Pretty awesome stuff. He's got some podcasts. He runs a show that you can watch all the time. Really good stuff, right? So you should acknowledge and listen to Grant Cardone. He was talking. He had an image, and in this image he uploaded, he was talking about how his overnight success, and he's put overnight in speech marks. And this is what he put. My overnight success has taken 32 years, 700 interviews, 11,000 unpaid speaking gigs, 2,000 paid speaking gigs, 3 million air miles, 5 PR firms, 5 partnerships, 5,000 newsletters, 3,200 videos, 1,100 articles, 150,000 plus social media posts, and unmeasurable amounts of criticism and ridicule. And here we are complaining. After a week, we're not millionaires yet. It takes longer than that. It doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. I wish it did. I just wish, you know, you make the decision, you do a little bit of work, and bam, £1 million in your bank account. Happy days. It doesn't. It takes 17 years for me. Now, we can accelerate those results. We can get you there to financial freedom within 5 years. We know that because we've done it, right? Whatever financial freedom means for you. But it takes hard work. It takes sacrifices. The Audi TT that you've just gone out and bought, that's got to go. But I like it. I like the way it makes me feel. How are you going to feel when you're financially free, canoeing in the Med on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock? How are you going to feel then? By the way, it's fucking awesome. I know that because that's my life now. Unless I'm traveling, of course, because I do travel on Mondays, alternatively, on Mondays. But it's like it's 20 past 10 after this. I'm off to the beach. It's amazing. It feels far better than the Porsche 911. I remember this. I was driving around Wales. We were going on away for a weekend. I had the music up and the hood down. We're driving around the Welsh roads. Beautiful. And we went over this hill and felt like we were flying. And the feeling was just phenomenal. I've got to tell you, being financially free feels much better than that car. But depreciate, £43,000. I sold it for like £28,000 18 months later. How's that for depreciation? £15,000. There's a deposit on a house that would have generated £200-£300 every single month for the rest of my life. So if you're despondent, don't be. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. Whatever that sacrifice is, if you smoke, quit. If you drink, quit. If you like fancy cars, quit those. If you've got a big penthouse and a really nice house, get rid of it and go smaller. That money then needs to go into buying assets. Because I tell you, you don't need a lot of money to live around the world. Thailand, £1,000, £2,000 every single month. That's it, you're done. If you can find a way, so that's 10 people, by the way, £200 a month. If you could coach 10 people, get them to pay £200 every single month, then there you go. You can live in Thailand for the rest of your life. £200 a month might be an hour's worth of coaching per month. It might be 2 hours, depending on how much you value yourself. But literally, like, you could do an hour per month for £200 a month times 10 people. You're working 10 hours a month to cover your income. You can get there, but it's going to take sacrifice. And the sacrifice comes from, first of all, getting rid of the media as much as possible. With something like Brexit, which is what this podcast is about, it's really difficult to get rid of media. It's on Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's everywhere, right? You can't go anywhere. Heck, it's on the side of buses saying how much money we're going to give to the NHS once we leave Europe, £350 million, I think. I'm so glad that turned out to be truthful. Just bizarre. So, interestingly, by the way, I noticed that because I went to the Advertising Standards Authority to complain about that advert because I felt it was misleading, because it was highly inaccurate. And the Advertising Standards Authority actually have something on their website to say, this is what it says, making a complaint about Vote Leave. We received a number of complaints about claims made about the Vote Leave campaign in the run-up to the EU referendum. Claims in non-broadcast ads, whose principal function is to influence voters in a local, national or international election or referendum, are exempt from the CAP code. So basically, you can advertise anything on an election poster and it's fine. Please do not submit a complaint to us about political material such as Vote Leave, as we won't be able to take any action under the advertising codes. So look, if you've got an advert you want to run for your business, by the way, simply become an MP. So try and be voted in your local election, and you can run all sorts of crap on those adverts. You say anything you goddamn want. Awesome. And when someone complains to the Advertising Standards Authority, they say, no, it was just an advert about me becoming an MP, not about anything else. And you can't get done for it. That's awesome. I love democracy. It rocks. So look, whatever you feel about this, whichever way you feel about it, it's irrelevant. All that is relevant is for you to get back on the horse, to get back to being awesome. And awesome is just a decision away, right? It's about getting back to putting in the effort, to cutting your costs, to pulling all the way back and making a decision that you've had enough of this bullshit and that now is the time. Now is your time to step up and be counted for you and your family. And all the opinions of everybody else are irrelevant. Whether they're for it or against it and whatever you felt, they are completely and utterly irrelevant. Because everyone's got an opinion, right? Whether it's valid, whether it's educated, and all opinions, of course, are equal, aren't they? So we're told. And that's bullshit as well. Not all opinions are equal. Some people go, but Dan, my opinion's as valuable as yours. No, it's not. I get paid thousands of pounds a day for my opinion. How much do you get paid for yours? And you could say, well, that's a bit up your own arse. Maybe so, but it's the truth. That's why people come to me, to help them become financially free, because that's the solution that we give them. That's why it works like that. But it's irrelevant what other people think. You shouldn't be listening to it. All you should be thinking is what you think. And as soon as you start getting rid of what other people think, your own career path is going to start to escalate. It's going to go up. Now, it's important to listen to education, but it's very important for you to get your own decision out of the information that you've been given, to process the information. It's up to you to interpret that information. That's the word I was looking for, to interpret the information. I'll tell you, my success started when I stopped listening to everybody else, because I used to think that everybody else knew what they were doing. And I realized a long time ago that people haven't got a clue and they're literally winging it. And you know, the best example I can give you that in the last couple of days was when Michael Gove and Boris Johnson were stood there after they won and they looked like they were at a funeral. Because they were like, shit, we won. What do we do now? They're literally winging it. They've got no idea whatsoever. George Osborne disappeared for 3 days while he was trying to work out what to say and work out what his position was. Literally, people winging it. So you look at people and think that they've got all the answers and they know what they're doing. No, it's not true. They might look like they do. I'm winging it. When I'm on a coaching call and I come up with a solution, sometimes it's because we've used that solution before in the past and we know that that works. Sometimes we haven't come up with that situation. As time goes on, we come up against pretty much all situations. But everyone's unique and all the relationships in that situation are different as well. So we have to come up. It's like a giant chess game. It's one of the things I'm really good at is calculating strategy over the long term. I'm incredibly good at it, in fact. It's one of the reasons why I do get paid a lot of money by corporates, FTSE 100 companies and big businesses that need that chess game strategy. And dealing with staff is another chess game strategy and being able to motivate your staff and so on. That's why we get called into these businesses. But stop listening to what everyone else is telling you and just calculate the information that you need. Work out what you need to go do and go do it. To hell with what everybody else says, because nobody else has a better idea than you. Only you do. So I have tried to avoid in this podcast going down one way or the other. I think I've been 70 to 80% successful there. It's very difficult not to go down one path or the other. But I think the resonating message out of this podcast is that it's irrelevant what happens in society. It's irrelevant what other people's decisions are made for you. The only thing that's relevant is a decision and then the action that you take for yourself and your own family. So I hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latto. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.